Well, welcome along here to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, bringing you all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County and further afield. Although there's not too much sporting action happening today with the weather, all the GAA games cancelled. We do have some GAA content a little later for you on the way, if you're that way so inclined. There is some football action, however, as Cork City women's team play their last game of the season at 7 in Leaside Football Club. That venue changed from Turner's Cross to St. Colin's Park in Cove, but now with the weather concerns, it takes place in Leaside. That's, of course, in Little Island. I would say normally go support them if you can, but with the weather, however, it might be best to stay inside for this one. But fair play if you're headed to that one. And fair play if you're headed and you're braving the conditions in Virgin Media Park in town tonight for Munster's clash versus Ospreys. Great to see Cork's Jack Crowley back in action for this one. Now, our very own Rory O'Hagan and the Red 78 crew of Alan Quillen and Fiona Hayes were discussing how Munster can bounce back from the defeat to Zebre as they prepare to face Ospreys.
We move on to the Ospreys coming up at Virgin Media Park this coming Saturday evening, 7:35 start for that one on Saturday. Fiona, this is a very decent Ospreys team.
Yeah, they're always a tough team to play. I think the pack in particular are always really good. You look at Baird in the second row, he's something special. Jack Morgan, Tipperick, Morris Morgan, they've just seemed to have a settled pack as well over the last, I suppose, last season and the start of this season. We can see that it's similar. And that front row, Garrett Thomas, Dewey Lake. So it's something I suppose Munster will know going into. They played him in the quarterfinals last year. Tipperick, we know what he's about. We know what Jack Morgan, they're going to have to try and control. We spoke about the breakdown being really poor and turnovers. If they do not control the breakdown and are not connected, they will certainly, against this pack row and this team, they will certainly turn over a lot of balls. So I think they'll know the challenge at hand. And, you know, you've got, I suppose, their backline is good as well. They're flyers. They have Williams in centre. So they have X-factor players. A lot of guys have played with Wales. But Munster are used to playing. I think in all the Ospreys games I've seen, they up their game. They'll know the physicality levels going into it. And I hopefully will see a bounce back from that last game as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. As we were saying, a very, very strong team. So it's going to be another tough one for Munster on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I think the Dragons beat Ospreys in round one. And I think people saw some evidence in their performance in the Aviva last Friday night, particularly early on, that the Dragons have improved. They're a good side. They're a dangerous side. They have some good players there. And they proved that by beating a really strong Ospreys team in round one. The Ospreys themselves responded at home. They, you know, with the win against the Stormers, you got a bonus point win, scored some great tries, were relatively comfortable. I think the Stormers came back and scored late on as well to bring it closer and put a bit of respectability on the board. But they were pretty dominant in that game. And they got their reaction. So, you know, you're going to Virgin Media Park and you're thinking, this is a perfect place for a team like Ospreys who do throw the ball around and very ambitious in their attack. I think, you know, look at the players, Owen Watkin and Kieran Williams in the centre. They're very settled and they, you know, Munster beat them in the quarterfinal, obviously, in Thomond Park in May, 23-7. And that was a hard kind of fought win. It wasn't a glamorous performance. And when you have players, I think having Adam Baird back in their pack this year will give them that quality and that presence as well. And there's a back row there of, you know, Morgan Morris would have been disappointed not to go to Australia on the tour with Wales. He's a very good player, the number eight. And then, you know, Jack Moran Tipperick can still do it, you know, watching him at the weekend, putting in grubber kicks, clearances, poaching the ball. So when I say you talk about being on it, I think they've got to be good this week. It's a quick turnaround when you have to sort out your defence, you have to sort out your breakdown, you have to sort out probably your maul to get it more effective. There's a fair few bits that have to be sorted out for Munster. All stuff that can improve dramatically. You're not going to go from maybe what we saw on Saturday to being absolutely perfect next week. But One area that they need to be really focusing in on is the breakdown. I think that's vital this week, because for obvious reasons, when you look at Tipperick and Jack Morgan, Dowie Lake at hooker, he was outstanding for Wales in Australia in the summer tour, really good player. So they have players who can you know, cause problems for Munster there. And, you know, if Munster want to play themselves, you know, they want to play in a 4G pitch and move the ball around. But I think there's a little bit of them. We've probably saw glimpses of trying to go around teams a little bit. I think there needs to be a bit of tuck the ball under the arm a little bit. That's the quickest way of getting back, I think, and being really physical and just ruthless around that breakdown. And, you know, pick away the scoreboard with a couple of penalties or build some pressure with your forwards in the right areas. So, yeah, it's a tough game. It's a pressurised game for Munster. And, you know, we don't know if Nankivell will be back. He picked up some sort of a bang on the shoulder. Tacker Abrahams, you know, went off the other day with, you know, tweaking his hamstring, I think. And Shane Daly, that doesn't look good. We haven't an update yet on those injuries. So that's tough on them, to be fair. So you talk about, you'd love to be able to pick the same team for the 3 weeks in a row. And actually, that's how you kind of can fix things easier. So there's a bit of a lot of moving parts here, but the vast majority of the forwards, I think all of the forwards that have been involved in the first two games will be available and will be in the mix to play. And I think that's where this game they have got to take ownership here, leadership, and give a dominant platform for whoever plays out the back. You know, you're going to have Tadhg Byrne back, which will be massive, Peter O'Mahony, Jack Crowley. So you talk about that kind of top level international experience, they're coming back into it. So they'll have a significant impact as regards that attitude stuff. And again, we're not pinpointing people at a bad attitude, but based on what we've seen, we think it could be an element that affected them at the weekend. Not deliberately. People didn't drop their guard and think, you know, I'm just going to turn up and have a bad performance. But I just think, you know, O'Mahony coming back in, Tadhg Byrne, Jack Crowley, they'll certainly help the situation. That's the big positive. And I think, I don't know, Fiona, what you think, but I don't think Munster, maybe they can be as bad again in the couple of areas of the defence and the breakdown. I don't know. I haven't seen Munster being that bad in those two areas in a long time, and I can't remember really, maybe back 2015-16 season. So it's been a long time. So I think it can get better, and it should get better, and will get better in the next couple of weeks. And, you know, they can get back on track, hopefully.
Yeah, I don't think we're pressing the panic button just quite yet, Fiona. But to lose on Saturday, then the pressure kind of grows again.
Yeah, it's about that. It's about maintaining pressure. If they can get that win on Saturday, it takes that pressure off them. If they can put in a really good performance, it even takes some more pressure off them. They could scrape a win as well. And then you can you just be looking at the scoreboard. So I think a performance is key as well on Saturday. It's that build up. You can't let that happen. We saw it, as Quinny said, 2 years ago. Yes, there was 2 out of 7 and they turned that around. But I feel like with the injuries as well, this group is different. And if they keep adding up, it becomes a very, very difficult task to even field players that, you know, can play at that level. And I know Munster, that backline in particular, they'll be looking around, but Jack Crowley coming in will be huge significance. And I think even the standards that Peter O'Mahony sets, I've heard it in training sessions, like you spoke about Paul and his standards, Peter is similar. And I think having someone there, there's almost an automatic rise. I've seen it even coaching the women's team when certain people are there. It's a much higher intense level of training. It can drop off if one person is missing, which is amazing to say, but it's just the reality. So I think having a main in the team runs, having him part of that for the whole week this week, hopefully we'll see him anyway. We don't know the team, but hopefully he'll be there. I think that will definitely lift it, and a good performance will take that pressure off come after the weekend.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Munster win on Saturday, would you be confident, Quinny?
It's going to be tight. I think, as I said, they've a bit to get right, and the internationals coming back in are just not going to make this perfect suddenly. I think if the players collectively, if they kind of take ownership of this and go out with a real determination, and it doesn't, again, you're playing against a good side, that's not going to get you the win. But any sort of a win here for me, a dogged kind of real aggressive performance is what I'd love to see. I know the attack has been one of their strengths in the last few years, so it's not about scoring tries and loads of stuff. I just think they need to have a bit of body language about them at the weekend. And look, I think there'll be a reaction, and I think they'll probably get enough. They'll have enough in the bag to get a performance and get a win.
You want a last word too, confident?
I wouldn't say confident, but I do think they'll get the win. I think we'll see far more emphasis on territory with Jack back as well. And Quinny spoke about it being direct. I think they'll look at that and see how well they got over the gain line when they were direct and playing in the right areas. And certainly with the personnel, maybe we don't know who's playing, but if there's a back line that's relatively unsettled, new combinations, I think we'll see definitely more territory, and they should get the win with the players there, especially in that pack.
Great stuff. Let's hope for the win. You can listen to the Red 78 podcast every week on offtheball.com. And here's Munster captain Tadhg Byrne speaking in Munster's press conference this week.
Notably, Donegh O'Callaghan speaking on TV, like, described it as an embarrassing result. How much stock do you as a team put into, like, when an ex-player, a Munster legend like that is saying something about a result, how much stock would you put into that?
We haven't really spoken about it, to be honest. I don't think that outside noise is really for us to speak about. I think it's on us to it's very much on us to get our own performance better. You know, our standards over the weekend wasn't good enough, and of course there's going to be outside noise. You know, you're going to have past players and, as you say, Munster legends criticising how we're playing when we're playing poorly. It's only natural. I watch football as well. You see Keno doing it about United, and you're going to see it in every sport. It's going to happen, but it's on us. We know ourselves that we haven't performed well over the weekend. So, we're not going to fix it by listening to what's been said outside of this of the HBC. It's all about what we do in here and the work we do in here, and fixing those wrongs this week now and getting it right this coming Saturday.
In the review, what was felt went wrong at the weekend there?
Pretty obvious, isn't it? Our defence wasn't up to scratch. Nowhere near it, really. Very uncharacteristic of us, especially over the last couple of years. We've had one of the best defences in the league over the last couple of years, and not just the weekend just gone, but against Connacht as well. We haven't performed in that area at all, and I suppose that was the main topic of conversation today in our meeting, is about fixing a lot of what we did in defence. We weren't physical enough, and we were getting our roles wrong as well. And we let Zebra into, we just gave away soft tries at the end of the day. That was ins and outs. There were certainly a lot of areas in attack we need to fix as well, and left a lot of opportunities out there. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but in terms of how much improvement is possible from the weekend, we also know that we've a lot to work on, but we're not getting worried either. We're in a good position to fix those problems this week and hit the ground running again. At times, it probably was attitude in terms of wanting to be more physical. And at times it was just our detail around how we defend, the way in which we leak line breaks and stuff like that. So a bit of both. It's on us to fix that. We've reviewed that game now, and we've put that behind us. I'm sure we'll speak on those errors again later in the week in terms of not letting that happen again against Ospreys. But we've done our review now and all our focus has gone to Ospreys.
Okay, thanks, Ty. Good luck with the weekers.
Thank you.
Just jumping in there, looking ahead to the Ospreys, what are you most impressed with them? They seem to have obviously improved quite a bit over the last couple of seasons. They've got some really good young talent with Dowie Lake and Jack Morgan. But, you know, having been involved with Welsh rugby yourself, how impressed have you been with the job Toby Booth has done with them?
Yeah, they've certainly improved. I reckon they're probably one of the strongest Welsh unions at the moment. I think that they're strong across the park, which is I think if you look at their team sheets, they've a lot of standout players there, and they can play various ways, but defensively they're very good, and they're particularly good over the ruck. You know, they've a lot of players there who can steal a lot of balls, so we're going to have to be on point with our ruck, and you know, they've a very good set piece as well, and I think it's an area that they probably at times got the better of us over the last few seasons, so it's definitely a big focus for us this coming Saturday too.
That's great, thanks Dyke.
Yes.
And here's defence coach Dennis Leamy speaking ahead of their clash with the Ospreys later on.
I might crack into it straight away talking about defence. Obviously last season you had the best defensive record in the URC, 17 points per game conceded. And as we know, it's 75 points through these opening two matches in the URC this season. Where are you seeing the kind of cracks that have emerged in these couple of games, and how confident are you can fix them up?
Yeah, it's been a difficult couple of weeks, and certainly the last couple of days have been very disappointing in terms of how we played in Italy. So absolutely 100%, we need to be an awful lot better than we were. That's absolutely standing in front of the lads this morning, the disappointment on their face is still very palpable there, and you get a sense for how much they care, and that's a great thing as a coach. You're looking for your reaction, you're watching their body language, and you know their disappointment is definitely evident. The big thing now is we have to energise them again. We pull them up. We lean on stuff like you've just said around being the top defensive team for the last two seasons in the URC. You know, you lean on little bits and pieces like that. But the reality is, within the room, there is a standard that we expect, and we didn't meet it on Saturday. And you know, we're conscious that the tries came from different aspects of our play, so I think we need to tighten up right around the pitch. We need to tighten up our ruck D. We need to tighten up, you know, when teams launch against us, we need to tighten up how we kick, how we control the kicking game. If we're going to go off, if we're going to stay on, we need to stick to the plan. You know, and honestly, like, we need to present a huge amount more physicality. You know, and that in terms of Saturday was probably for me quite disappointing. Our physical exchanges just weren't good enough.
Have you changed anything to like the structure of how you're defending, or has it just been the execution hasn't been there in these opening 2 weeks?
No, we haven't changed a whole lot. No, that's definitely we've been very trusting in what we've done before, and we're trying to better it all the time. You can't put it down to changing the system or anything like that. Yes, we have, you know, new players in. We have some young players. We have players coming from the AIL. We have some players coming from different environments that are new to us. So there's a little bit of a bedding in period there. But all that said, you know, we have to be, you know, we have to be better than that, and we have to be very honest. The improvement needs to happen, you know, pretty quickly. And the boys, you know, I've said it to them this morning, they're the best group of players I've worked with. Defensively, they're the best group of guys I've worked with. They'll do anything for you. They'll go to war for you consistently. We've won in difficult places in South Africa. You know, we've won championships. You know, we trust these guys, you know, to bounce back and to get things right. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to how we turn up again on Saturday.
And just finally then for me, can I just ask about Tom Ahern? Has he had a bit of a setback with his recovery from injury? During pre-season, we were kind of told he was looking at the first couple of rounds at coming back, but obviously we haven't seen his name in the last few weeks. How is he progressing at the moment?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think Tom's rehab, you know, and recovery slowed a little bit. I'm not quite sure he had a setback, but it just slowed down a little bit, and we're still waiting on him to be fully available. So we're just watching that space. But yeah, fingers crossed, it'll be soon.
Okay, thanks, Dennis, and good luck this week.
Thank you.
You've kind of answered the question already talking to Neil there, but I guess looking at this sequence of games from Gloucester onwards and how difficult it's been, is there a sense that you've kind of been here before, thinking back to 2023 when you had that run of games against the Scarlets, Glasgow, the Sharks? I think you conceded 130 points across those three games. And I know there were caveats in that the Scarlets week was clearly difficult. I think you'd buried Tom Tierney possibly the day before that game. And then Glasgow, there was a three-week break to that game. Then you're going into South Africa, roasting hot, powerful team, etc. But I remember talking to Graham Rowntree about it at the end of that championship-winning season, and he said you did have a bit of a reset and stripped down your game to some degree, and a bit of a marathon meeting as well upstairs in the High Performance Centre in Limerick. Like, from your point of view, is there a case of maybe a confidence that you've actually solved this problem before or a similar type of problem before?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Look, this, as I said to you, you know, I'm blessed. We are blessed with this bunch of players, you know, and as a defence coach, more often than not, you know, these guys go to war for us. So there are very fixable things that we can control within our control that can nullify a huge amount that went wrong for us on Saturday. So it's not something that scares us. Actually, in fact, the challenge inspires us. You know, we're sitting in the meeting room this morning, you know, These are the moments in your career. Look back to the so-called golden Munster era. You know, there was definitely moments like this, full of moments like this. And our response will be really the important thing. And again, you know, the players, they're disappointed, yes, but we pick ourselves up, and there's nothing that we'll ask them to do that they haven't done before. And, you know, it's just about all those little bits and pieces. You know, for a team to score a try, you need about five things to go wrong. Now, that may not be evident to the passing rugby fan, but when we look in detail, there's five to six things that have gone wrong before teams score. We control one or two of those little bits, you stop those tries. And there are a lot of these things are well within our control.
One of the members of that golden era of Munster rugby was quite harsh on RT, your old mucker, Donegal Callan. And we did put it to Tighe before you. He naturally said that the players have blocked that out. But I'm sure you would have come across either the quotes in writing or maybe seen clips of it. And he's questioning players' character and things like that, which I'd imagine is tough when you know what it's like to have played with him. And you probably think otherwise when you're working day to day with these players.
Yeah, I saw Donegal's comments. Someone said that he had a goal, and I specifically went home and watched it, and Donica was completely on the money. I know Donica since I was 18. I have nothing but respect for him. He was like a brother to me when we played together. Donica O'Callaghan said nothing that we don't know, that we didn't feel, that the players don't know. And does it hurt? I think the hurt comes from how we were on Saturday. You know, we want to, you know, remember the legacy like people that Donica created here, you know, and we want to, you know, build on that. And when someone like Donica, you know, honestly calls out our actions at the weekend, you know, you put your hands up and you say, we have to do better. It wasn't good enough. And, you know, we're not going to step away from that either. Donegal Callaghan will always be a legend here, and he said nothing on Saturday that we didn't say ourselves.
Sticking with rugby now, at Cork, Conn had an amazing 25-5 point win over Young Munster today in a very rainy Temple Hill. I caught up with head coach Johnny Holland after the game. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Johnny Holland, head coach of Cork, Conn. Johnny, what a win for you today anyway, 25-5.
Yeah, not a bad win. The conditions could have been better. It's one of the colder games, but they're the ones that, you know, they're worthwhile when you get out with a win.
Absolutely. And I mean, if people, and I'm sure most people listening are in around Cork, but the conditions today were very poor. Did that affect your ball handling and things a lot, I presume?
It did, like, but, you know, one of those things, it's the same for both sides. And I'd always say, you know, when the weather's like that, the team with the better skills or who can manage the conditions a bit better or get their set piece right, you know, it's the same for both teams. But if you can come out on top in those small things, then it goes a long way. Like, the moments go your way. And I think that's what happened for us today.
I couldn't make myself out to be an idiot here, but that would be no shock on the radio. Is it a win and a loss so far this season, Johnny? Your second win today, no?
Second win today, so we lost in the opener, and we've built two wins from there. So, you know, the opening one was going to be tough for Taran Yor after losing the final last year, but, you know, that's no real excuse. We still went up there to win the game and to start quite strong in the league, like, and we didn't do that. So going back to back with wins there now before a week break is exactly what we needed, and there's a bit of a buzz around the club. So, you know, it gives you a bit of a spring into your week break. If you lost that one, it's going to be a long week off, you know. So the club is buzzing and the lads are buzzing, but rightly so. They massively turned up, like, and, you know, coaches can do things like Scotty in his defence and Billy in set piece and Berkey with the skills that he's been bringing to our group as well, and some of the attack focus. But, like, it's the lads bringing on, you know, so they're probably having a couple of points as we speak, and more than a title to them, they're well deserving of them.
Well, what was that Taran Yor one like? Was there a bit of tension in the air after the back of the final?
There was a bit of tension, right? But, you know, they're different squads. Like, we had fellas who weren't in our squad for the final at all, and they're probably picking up from some stuff that went down last year, and Taran Yor obviously up for it, but they didn't have everyone available either, you know. So it was a kind of a, it stood in its own right, you know, the picture itself. But, you know, obviously there's going to be a bit of an emotional edge from a team that lost the final. We had that the other times when we'd lost to Taran Yor, when they had won a final, we knew what we had to do as well, like, you know. So there's going to be a bit of a mental edge, and it's trying to match that or even surpass that, but it can be a difficult thing. It's an intangible, and you don't know where you are until you get onto the pitch. But they managed themselves well that day. We still had opportunities, but they managed themselves well. They had a very fast start, and, you know, we repeated that slow start last week against Banley Hinch, down 14 points in 4 minutes. But today I think we started, it wasn't even a thing. I never really thought about our start, because we just started well and we kicked on from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you see the season going? What are your hopes for the season? I mean, is back-to-back the only marker of success really now for you?
Absolutely. I don't think anything else is a success. And that's not to say I expect to win it, but, you know, don't tell me that not winning it is a success, you know. So I think the opening block was going to be the tough one, trying to get the mentality right. I don't think that's an issue for us, but I think it's, you know, every year we don't win it is a failure for us, and I'm sure other clubs feel the same. But after winning it, especially, like, you don't want to take a step backwards. So, you know, the back-to-back is hard to do and all the rest of it, but, you know, it's a challenge we're willing to take on. And if we just put our best performances out there, and other teams would react accordingly, and if we have enough to do it and we're deserving of it, then great. If we don't do enough to do it, then, you know, we don't deserve it, and we'll go back and lick our wounds after that. But that's certainly the plan. Like, I mean, if you ask anyone who won a trophy, the plan will always be to go back-to-back without ego, you know. That is it. Like, you know, anything less than that, we won't really accept. Like,
in the match today against Young Munster, was James Taylor as impressive as the match report suggests?
He was impressive, but he was cold, you know. So it's a tough one standing out at half trying to pull the strings, and the weather gets worse and worse. But he was, you know, he managed his back line around him, his pack managed themselves in front of him. So he's a clever guy. He knows how to you know, uses forwards and spring his back line at times, like, you know. So he'll be fairly happy with his performance. I'd say he was happier to be dragged ashore with 8 minutes to go just to look after him a small bit. But he's an impressive player, and he did it again today.
Brilliant stuff. Get him under that blanket. Well, Johnny Holland, I'm sure it won't be the last time I speak to you this season anyway, but best of luck with it, and we'll talk soon, mate. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny. The ref's whistle has gone for half time here on the Big Red Bench. Come back to us in the second half. We'll be hearing from both Glenn and Sarah's camps ahead of the minor P1 final on Monday, as well as Cork City football action. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour to some GA action. Now, nearly today, I caught up with Ray Ryan of Sarah's and David Brazen of Glen Rovers to talk about the Rebel Oak minor P1 final. Let's hear from Ray Ryan, head coach of Sarah's first. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Ray Ryan of Sarsfields. Ray, a big one on Monday night in the minor hurling final against Glen Rovers. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, well, look, can't wait for it, first and foremost, anyway, Dan. So it's been a long time coming out this year. A lot of games gone under the belt. So, look, it's going to be a great game against two great teams, two great clubs. You know, Glen have been very successful underage in previous years, you know, current champions. So, look, it's going to be a mammoth task for us. Look, but we've done everything we can. We've all the boxes ticked. So we're just looking forward to Monday night.
And how has your season gone as a large? Can you talk a bit about the season you had so far?
Look, I suppose like most clubs at the minor division, there was a few ups and downs. Look, we started poorly. We had our first defeat to Killa, you know, who are a good side. But look, we managed to kind of get things back on track with wins against Inishgara and Middleton, which was a vital one that made us win the group. And then recently, a semi-final win against a very good Ballincollig side. So look, things are coming together for us. You know, it's a work in progress. They're a great bunch of lads there, you know, but look, learning all the time and improving all the time. And look, we have a big panel of lads there, so look, it's been very enjoyable here so far now.
I know I hate asking managers this question because they struggle, especially I suppose maybe in underage, because they don't want to leave anyone out. But what players should we be looking out for on the Sarah side come Monday night?
The player that everyone knows will be Barry O'Flynn. You know, like, he's a Cork 20 this year, you know, been very good underage player, Cork minor, you know. So, but look, he's very ably assisted by all our team. You know, we're very good balance all around. So look, Barry's one player that you're looking after. But look, I'm sure there'll be on Monday, and hopefully there'll be a few fellas that will surprise everyone with their performances.
Where do you think it'll be won and lost, Ray, in those dirty conditions, probably on Monday?
Look, like any kind of says and Glen game, like, it's just going to come down to work rate and attitude and will to win. And you know, whether the conditions look like they're going to be bad, look, that's going to mean that the work rate is going to have to be better. So you know, look, there's going to be a pocket of ball between two teams, two very good teams, and as I said, the Glen are current champions, and look, brilliant champions, and had a brilliant win against Middleton when everyone thought they were beaten at half time, but typical Glen spirit to come back and get them goals when they needed and get them back into a final. So look, it's going to be a very big task for us to win. But look, hopefully if we just get our performance and get everything right on the day, we'll be thereabouts.
Have you been saying it to the lads the past week? Try getting them. Well, it's probably don't need any motivation for this one. But what have you been telling them?
Look, I'm just telling him this week, even since the Ballincollig game, Dan, just to enjoy the few weeks, you know. There's not too often you get to county finals, and look, you just have to enjoy the build up and the kind of the, I suppose, the crack and the camaraderie that comes with it, you know, and a bit of banter. So I suppose there was the main points that I was trying to stress over the last couple of weeks. But look, now that the weekend is upon us here, now, look, it's about getting down to business Monday night. We hopefully get a win out tomorrow evening with our seniors playing against Middleton, and come Monday, then it's down to us. So we know we have a job to do. We know we have to go out and a performance to give. And I think, look, if we do that, we'll be there about. And look, there's no better feeling than winning, and no better feeling than winning a county final.
Yeah, have you been doing anything extra different in training, or has all the training been done now really at this stage, just about getting the eye in for Monday?
Well, look, we haven't been doing anything extra, but we've just been working on what we need to work on, you know. Like, we've always something that we need to work on. And even after the Ballincollig game, there was a few things we picked out that we just didn't do good enough or well enough. And look, we just kind of worked on them, and, you know, we just stuck to our same structure. We always kind of play an in-house game there, kind of maybe 5 to 7 days out before we play our championship game. And we did that, and look, it was very good, very lively, and we were delighted with it. So look, all guns blazing, and look, we're all looking forward to Monday.
You touched on the seniors there. What's the mood been like around the club, given the seniors' success so far this year?
Look, it's been great. Look, I did good, and look, mentioned the under-16s last Monday night again with a brilliant win against Glen of all teams. So look, they'll be hurting and they'll want retribution. But look, there's been a good seniors are playing well. 16s have won their county. We're in the final. So look, there's a good atmosphere around the place. And look, after a tough year with facilities and everything going on in the club, our pitch looks immaculate at the moment. So, you know, I suppose that's great that's going to be back in action next year. So look, looking forward to everything. But look, you know, winning breeds winning, and look, hopefully we can keep the show going. The lads keep the show going tomorrow against Middleton, and you know, as I said, winning breeds winning, so hopefully it'll go well for us.
Have the lads been saying anything to you during the week, or just are they messing around, or are they serious and focused about it? What's the mood from them been like?
Well, I suppose you're going to have a couple of serious characters, and then you're going to have probably a few more messers in the group. But look, you know, I'm always a bit of a messer myself when I was playing, so look, I've no problem with it. But look, it has to be fun. You know, they're only 17, 18, some of them 16. It has to be enjoyable, Dan. And look, if we're not enjoying your hurling at that age, you know, you're wasting your time. So you have to have a bit of banter training, and you have to have a bit of back and forth with them. And look, they're great lads, great, very, very good lads, all very well read and brought up. And look, I know come Monday they'll mean business, and hopefully we can have that bit of crack and banter afterwards when we bring the cup back.
Absolutely, Ray. Well, those Glenmire lads always had the missers anyway, but I really appreciate you taking the call, and best luck on Monday night.
All right, Dan, no problem at all. Thanks for being for the call.
Ray, best luck. Here's me speaking to David Brosnan of Glen Rovers. We're delighted to be joined here on the phone by David Brosnan of Glen Rovers. David, a big one Monday night in the Minor Championship versus Sarsfields. How do you see this one going?
I think it's going to be a great battle. Two teams that are probably really happy to be in the final and looking forward to playing against each other.
And I mean, your players in your group so far, can you talk a bit about the season they've had so far and their journey to the final?
I suppose for us it's been a two-year journey. Really happy with the way the whole year has gone. We got a really great team who are coming into form at the right time. I think that's what it's all about. It's they're growing in confidence, and they're looking forward to Monday night.
I know now managers don't like maybe singling out players because they might feel bad for leaving people out, but what players should we be looking out for on Monday night in Park Erin?
I suppose our senior players are the ones that have really been shown up all year long. So you have Dermot Wall, Cian Walsh, Jake Brosnan, again Conor Mack, you know, you've got Michael Gaffer and James Murphy. O'Shane O'Connell again, centre, you know, the fullback has been fantastic, but then we've got really good young talent who are coming in as well. So, you know, there's I'd say on both sides of the squad there's 30 players there, but you know, if I look at my team, I'm delighted with the 15 on the pitch and the subs that are going to come on. They really are now. They're really blended into a fantastic team.
And how are they feeling about everything? I'm sure they've been talking about the training.
Oh, they're loving it. Like, this is where we want to be. When you get to be county finals, like, again, like, you look at the attitude of our team, you know, we definitely underperformed in the first half against Middleton. They had a great performance in the second half to pull out a fantastic victory. And we're delighted to be training and getting ready then to kind of to try and win the county again this year in the Premier One.
I suppose a club like Glen Rovers, how big of an impact do you know being able to look up to the guys like Patrick Horgan and the two Donies on the Cork panel? Does that have a big impact on the young lads coming up?
I think it definitely does. It draws everyone in and it keeps people around. We don't have, let's say, the same numbers of players coming into the different teams. You know, so you look at some of the with the housing and what's coming in. What's important for us is that when we have our players in, they're able to see what it is to be a member of Glen Rovers, to be, you know, putting on that jersey with the spirit of the Glen, being able to learn what it is to win, how to fight for a win. And when these lads see all these Cork representatives, that they see that is the future that they want. And these lads do everything to be able to, like, they dream of being a Glen senior hurler. Like, that's the difference. Like, and they want to be part of that. And that's when you come up to minor level and you're winning minors, and you see there over the last, like, we've won three of the last four minors. We're going for four out of five now. Like, we've a, like, Cian Walsh, for example. If we have lads now who will have three minor medals if we win.
Wow.
Cian Walsh will have four minor medals, you know, if we win on Monday night. Like, that's an amazing achievement at any standard, at any level, at the top level. So, hopefully, fingers crossed.
For a club like Glen Rovers to go down to Senior A, was that a big shock to the club?
Oh, definitely. It's not anywhere where we thought we'd be, but, like, I'm really proud of the way the club has kind of rallied around it and then being able to do it. So you look at, you know, like, the... between the minor teams, 16 Premier One final last week. The junior teams are doing really well. The senior team now again this year has been fantastic, and keeping their heads and their focus on getting back up on the senior and making sure that again competition is there. So last year didn't go the way we wanted. We got, you know, we probably got maybe what we deserved. But this year again has kind of helped us to again refocus and make sure that we don't make that mistake again.
Absolutely, and there must be some level of confidence in the club coming to this semi-final against Castle Lions whenever it takes place.
Again, I think there might be, you know, you're hoping that there'd be some level of confidence. It's, you know, again, because of the work and the effort put in. But again, we won't take anyone for granted. I think that last year, you know, maybe we took our eye off the ball. Chris Ring has that quote, don't take your eye off your ball, you know, even if it's in the ref's pocket. You know, and that's what we have to do. You know, we have to keep our eye on the ball to make sure that we get across the line. And for me, whether it is the senior team, they'll have their job. And with the minor team now, we have our job to make sure that these lads are learning how to win and can get used to winning counties, and that they're ready again to be able to drive on and pushing the senior lads for places then in the coming years.
Yeah, Sarahs will certainly be doing their best to stop you on Monday night. Where do you see this game being won and lost, David, from your perspective?
I think it's going to be really tight. You know, they'll really want to win a minor county. I don't think, you know, none of them have one. They'll all want one, and we don't want to give them one. This is like what we're hoping now is this is ours. This is what we've been training for over the last number of years. Where it will be won, effort level. You know, that for me is where the lads have got to make sure that effort level is going to be there, because they're two, you know, well-balanced teams. And when we saw, like, we played each other once in the league this year, I suppose effort levels and then discipline as well. You know, I think that when we saw the game early in the year, you know, there was kind of a couple of flash points. And that's where we want to make sure that, again, for us, that it's the hurling that shows up and not any other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm sure effort level will become definitely apparent, especially in I'm sure probably the poor conditions in Park Euring on the Monday. Have you been focusing on it in training in particular, David, or is the training kind of said and done now and it's just up to the lads really?
Yeah, but like we've been training now. I think that's one of the great things now about the club, being focused on the development in the club, making sure we've got like really top class facilities. And for me, you know, we've been training there now at 8 o'clock at night, trying to get used to the lights and trying to get used to the conditions that we've been in. But again, this group of players, they're no excuses. You know, that's the way they get on with things. So last year we played Middleton again in a torrential freaking downpour in the semi final and got over the line. This year, you know, whatever the conditions will be between today, Sunday, Monday, you know, whatever happens, you put the ball in, you play for 60 minutes, you give everything your all, and I think that if we do that, we'll come out on top.
Well, David, thanks so much for speaking to us, and best of luck on Monday. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Thanks, take David. Care. Bye now. To football now, as in soccer, and Liverpool are a point clear in the Premier League, heading into the international break after they beat Crystal Palace 1-0 today. Ryan Bromlow has the full-time report from Selhurst Park.
It's finished. Crystal Palace 0, Liverpool 1, and the Reds go into the international break top of the Premier League. After fending off a late Palace surge, their hopeless form in front of goal continues. Crystal Palace, Eze, Mateta and Nketiah all spurring promising openings in the final knock-ins, and Liverpool had to survive the last 10 with their third choice keeper Yaros following a knock to Alisson. A professional performance from the Reds, who preserved their 100% record on the road this season. The final score, Palace 0, Liverpool 1.
And Peter Smith has the full time report from the Etihad Stadium, as was Man City 3, Fulham 2.
City 3, Fulham 2. Fulham were enterprising throughout. They took the lead when Andreas Pereira steered in from short range after an astute back heel from Jimenez. For City's Mateo Kovacic has already stepped into the breach left by the injured Rodri. He levelled with a powerful 14-yard drive, then put his side ahead with another precise finish from range. Doku's goal from 18 yards was the pick of the bunch as he made it 3-1, with Fulham reducing the arrears late on through a Muniz strike. City 3, Fulham 2.
And the last of the Premier League action, Nigel Bidmead has the full-time report at the Emirates as it finished Arsenal 3, Southampton 1.
Arsenal stayed on the coattails of league leaders Liverpool with a win against Southampton, but it took a Saints goal in the second half to bring the game to life. Arsenal responded to Cameron Archer's strike with two goals in 10 minutes through Kai Havertz and Gabriel Martinelli. Bukayo Saka, the man of the match, scored late on to make sure of the points. The Arsenal manager, Mikel Arteta, was happy overall, but acknowledged that his side lost control of the game after half-time, allowing Southampton to score. Saints remain winless with just 1 point from 7 games, but their manager, Russell Martin, said he was proud of the team and would be very happy if they play like that in the next block of games. Arsenal 3, Southampton 1.
To domestic action now, and Cork City had a 1-1 draw against Treaty United last night. Goal thanks to a cracker from our very own Kian Coleman. Here's the post-match press conference from manager Tim Clancy.
Tim's a physical contest on a tough evening for football. Give us your assessment of how things went.
Didn't start the game very well. You got to hand that to Treaty as well. I think they were, again, tonight, it's been frustrating for us because we know that they were very, very dangerous on the counter. And they are aggressive with nicking balls back in the middle of the pitch and then they spring it in wide areas. They did it again tonight really well, but we didn't start the game well. And Lee Jack got a great goal after 2 minutes, a brilliant strike. He gave us a warning just before when Brad made a good save, and then we're behind in the game. I thought we moved the ball too slowly first half, and a little bit sloppy, so disappointing. The second half, thought we were a lot better.
In that second half, the equaliser coming from Kian Coleman, his 5th goal of the season, an absolute thing of beauty.
Yeah, listen, again, I thought the deliveries from Evan and I think it was Greg in the second half were very good, and Keane's met one on the volley. It was a brilliant strike. But again, listen, Corey's out to making probably 3 or 4 unbelievable saves again against us. So, I think probably draw is probably a fair result, but it was still good to keep the home record, unbeaten record going.
Tell us about the decision to hand the debut to David Dunn. He's now City's 2nd youngest ever player, just missing out by 2 weeks ahead of Jayden Nevin.
Yeah, listen, this club is an academy that are rolling out young players that are extremely talented players, and David's probably the next one. Young Ben Dunnigan as well is doing fairly well, and David's been in training with us the last couple of weeks. He's looked lively, he's a talent, and now that we've a few games at the end of the season to give them a taste of what the first team football is. And I think Jayden obviously responded very well at the start of the season, got to move to Benfica, and Carl's been excellent, Matty Kiernan's been excellent, Healers has been excellent, so a lot of our young lads have been really good, and David's probably the next one.
That was leading nicely on to my next question. 2 games left in the end of the season, is this a chance to blood more youth, or is this going to be about bringing momentum into next season and into the Premier Division?
It's a bit of both. I think you can do both. It'll be lads will get in game time again, and but it's also about trying to win as well. So we want to remain unbeaten. We've lost 1 game this season, which was away to Athlone, a game we shouldn't have lost, to be honest, but that was sore one, and we want to try and finish the season now with only 1 defeat, and continues next week with Athlone.
Thanks so much for your time.
Cheers, thank you.
Earlier today I caught up with Cork City women's manager Danny Murphy. This is side place Sligo Rovers in Leaside FC in Little Island for the last game of the season. Turner's Cross being out of action with the weather. Here he is, hoping for a positive result tonight. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Cork City women's manager Danny Murphy. Danny, a pleasure to talk to you anyway. How are you feeling about the last game of the season now against Sligo Rovers later on?
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. Look, obviously, weather ain't been great, but look, there's something we can't control. What we can do is go out and give it our best and put on a performance, and hopefully we get 3 points out of that.
Are you feeling confident you get 3 points looking at the table here? Sligo bottom of it, only 5 points, but I guess you can't take any game for granted in this league.
No, you can't take any game for granted. You know, they're games that we want to go into and we feel we should be winning, but you know, you have to turn up on the day and you have to give a good account of yourself, and if you do that, then you normally come out of a positive result. So for us, it's about making sure we implement our game plan and we go out and we get on the ball and we try and play and we create chances and try and score some goals.
For yourself, I mean, it must be an absolute privilege to have that 2-year contract now started with the club as well.
Yeah, no, I'm delighted. Look, it's nice to know that, you know, I've got a lot more that I want to build on and things I want to do with a football club, and you know, want to win trophies and try and, you know, be a club that are competing at the top end of the table every year. And look, that's always been the aim over the period of time since I've been in the job, and that we want to be able to continue on what we've been doing, and with the next 2 years allows us to continue to do that and keep putting the things in place that we've already implemented and try to, you know, implement more things to get to a point where we want to get to.
What do you think you really improved on this season? It was quite the stark contrast from last season.
I think we've been better, better organised as a team, you know, like in terms of our attacking style of play and how we want to play, and that we've scored more goals and we've conceded less goals off set pieces. You know, look, we've probably had a few games that we've probably left behind us, but we just want to be a bit more competitive when we're playing against the top three or four teams, so that if we are losing them games, we lose by one goal, not losing by two or three and or four, you know, four goals. We want to be a lot more closer in them games, and I think, look, we've done that for large parts of the year. We've beat some of the teams around us, and you know, we've managed to kind of bridge that gap a little bit between us and some of the teams in the top half of the table, and that next year it's about trying to stay in that, trying to finish in the top five, top six, and you know, competing at that end of the table and pick up even more wins.
What do you think you're going to need to do now to compete at that top end of the table?
We've got to improve on areas of our game still, and we know that, and look, there's things that we still need to develop on and improve on, and you know, we've got to get a bit more ruthless in the final third and with our chances. We don't score many goals, and we want to score more goals and, you know, be more creative off our set pieces so that we can maybe do that. And but they're the areas we'll look at, and look, if we can recruit and bring some extra players in to help us do that over the off season, look, that's always going to be an aim for us to do.
What's been the highlight of Danny Murphy's season?
I would say probably the game against Bowes on the telly, the volley from Doro from 20 odd yards out, and you know, I think that for me was probably my biggest highlight, because we were playing really well in that game and we just couldn't seem to break them down and get that clear cut chance, and then we score an absolute worldie.
Nothing beats the last minute winner. Sligo, what are you expecting from them tonight in those horrible conditions?
Yeah, look, they'll be tough to play against. They're aggressive and, you know, very organised, and they picked up some decent results lately. So look, they're obviously a lot harder to score against and a lot harder to play against. So look, we're expecting a very tough battle, and we just have to make sure that we apply ourselves right on the day and make sure we do implement the right things. And when we do that, we know we're capable of going and winning the game.
Are you disappointed the last match of the season is taking place in St. Colman's Park?
Yeah, look, obviously we're disappointed, and look, you know, it is what it is. It's like, for us, it's about, look, we can just control what we can control and focus on trying to perform on the pitch and do well, and look, all the other stuff around it is something that can be worked on and improved on and get better, and hopefully that these things don't have to happen. But it is what it is with the weather that's come in and the way things have turned out. We don't really, it's just how it's felt and what we've had to do.
But are you hoping? I'm sure you're hoping for every week anyway, but are you hoping going to see some, maybe more of the diehards in St. Colman's Park tonight, fan-wise?
Yeah, no, look, we love having them there. They make a big difference when they're there, and look, obviously we'd like to have them there again today, and hopefully they can get behind the team and help drive them on, and you know, and then we can get the result that we all want.
Well, look, Danny Murphy, pleasure chatting to you, and thanks for the season, and best of luck next year as well. We'll chat to you very soon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Danny. Appreciate it. Just a reminder, that match is taking place in Leaside in Little Island rather than St. Colman's Park, which was moved from Turner's Cross originally. That's Leaside. And the ref's whistle has gone for full-time here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Huge thanks to all our contributors. Stay safe out there in the weather. Enjoy the Munster match if you're going. Talk to you next week. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.